This is BFM News. I'm Tanya Organ. Upwards of 100 people gathered at the Cenotaph in Quarter Brook yesterday as part of the first National Indigenous Veterans Day recognized here. Canadian Indigenous soldiers enlisted for the first time during the War of 1812. The first Indigenous Veterans Day was held in Manitoba in 1994. Sadly, it wasn't until the 1990s that family members were permitted to lay a wreath at the National War Memorial in Ottawa. Event organizer Greg Janes, a veteran living in Corner Brook, says it was an emotional time.
We see Indigenous veterans were always treated a bit different than regular veterans when they come home from the battlefield. Yes, they were equal on the battlefield, but they certainly weren't equal after. So it's time for reflection and remembrance of those challenges that Indigenous veterans faced.
Elibu First Nations Chief Brendan Mitchell says the Corner Brook Aboriginal women were there drumming, as well as the Spirit Bay Drumming Group from Stephenville Crossing. He says this is an important day for Corner Brook.
But this is our first time doing it here in Corner Brook, and I say a special thank you to Greg Janes, a veteran, who has been the person who organized this event. And it's nice to be here with Halliwell members and citizens, the mayor, MHA Eddie Joyce, MHA Scott Reed, and many others, to honor the veterans, to acknowledge, and to say thank you for the life that we live in what I call a very protected life compared to some people, some other places in the world.
Humber Bay of Islands MHA Eddie Joyce says Indigenous soldiers have made a significant contribution in Newfoundland and in Canada.
History is unbelievable here in the Humber Bay of Islands area. And if you go back even more, one of the biggest concentrations of Indigenous is the Humber Bay of Islands in the Corner Brook area. And people want to recognize their culture and want to recognize their forefathers who gave the great contribution so we could be safe today, we could recognize today. So it's great that it was done. It's great, it's the first one in Newfoundland and Labrador, and it's great now that we'll be joining Canada to recognize the Indigenous contribution in the wars that went before us.
Tomorrow at Grenfell Campus, there will be a remembrance event at the Danger Tree starting at 10 a.m. Premier Andrew Fury has announced a new poverty reduction plan that focuses on improving the overall well-being of Newfoundlanders and Labradorians. The new three-year phase plan is an important element of achieving the province's goal of becoming one of Canada's healthiest provinces by 2031 and is also aligned with recommendations from Health Accord NL. The plan is supported by an investment that will grow to $85 million annually after 3 years. Premier Fury says the plan focuses on four key areas of reducing childhood poverty, creating meaningful and sustainable employment, improving income support, and supporting seniors.
We are increasing the Newfoundland and Labrador child benefit by 300% over the next year and a half. That's right, 300% increase. It will benefit approximately 14,000 children in families with the lowest incomes across our province.
The prenatal infant nutritional supplement is being expanded up to age 5, and they're renaming it the Early Childhood Nutrition Supplement. And additional funding is being allocated to ensure school lunch programs are available at all junior kindergarten and K-9 schools. Daniel Seward is the Executive Director, Single Parent Association of Newfoundland Labrador. She says the unique challenges facing single parent families have never been greater than they are today.
Food insecurity, access to training, as well as the ability to make basic household need purchases. Our clients face decisions that no parent should have to make. Do I purchase food for my family to eat tonight, or do I pay the latest bill looming on the counter? Can I afford a small gift under the Christmas tree this year, or do I have to explain to my child that Santa couldn't come? The impacts of increased cost of living across the board have forced single parent families in our province to make those difficult choices.
Fury says the employment stability pilot will be expanded province-wide, as well as enhanced programming to train and connect non-employment insurance eligible individuals to employment. He says income support benefits are going up.
Like increasing the income support comfort allowance by $50 a month. This is the first increase in this program since 1999. We are also streamlining the approximately 30 income support programs, which we now have, down to 6, which will lead to more efficiency for people, the people who need it. It will ultimately lead to a more effective delivery model, and most importantly, will lead to equality of support for the people who need it the most.
Fury says a new targeted basic income program will be created for people aged 60 to 64 currently in receipt of income support.
This group will be brought to the same level as the basic federal seniors benefit, so the combination of old age security and guaranteed income supplement, allowing for adequate, stable, and certain financial supports. Seniors are so important to us that we want to make sure we have to get it right. The data analysis has changed and has not led us to a full announcement today, but we want to make sure that we get it right and have a standalone seniors poverty reduction program.
A targeted poverty reduction plan for seniors will be released in the coming months. The Public Utilities Board has dismissed the Consumer Advocate's request for an oral hearing on Newfoundland Power's 2024 capital budget application. Sarah Thompson has this report.
The board found that the written hearing process in the proceeding has allowed for a full and effective and open and transparent review. The process has been ongoing since June 2023 and has included public notice, a presentation to the parties by Newfoundland Power, a technical conference, and 2 rounds of requests for information, which resulted in responses to well over 700 questions. The board stated, "The board is of the view that the public written hearing process is the preferred approach for annual capital budget applications as it provides for a full and fair review, bearing in mind the costs and time required to hold an oral hearing." For Bay FM News, I'm Sarah Thompson.
Starting November 15th, ATV riders will not be allowed on Cornerbrook City streets. Mayor Jim Parsons says it becomes more dangerous once there's snow on the street.
We played with the dates a little bit just to extend it out. Once we get snow on the streets, that's more dangerous. Mm-hmm. And so that's the purpose of that deadline. That's the deadline we've set right now. And again, we'll monitor that. Please be careful.
Parsons says ATV tires are not made for snow.
You know, ATV tires aren't made for asphalt. And we don't want to see anyone hurt. But you know what? Again, knock on wood, we've had a very successful season. People have been really good, complying with the rules. We've had no issues with the RNC. People have been very responsible, and that's what we want to encourage.
Parsons says responsible riding leads to more use, extended use, and more rights for users. That's Bay FM News. I'm Tanya Organ.